Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hall and you're listening to the Downtime Podcast. If you're looking for the most in-depth insight into the world of downhill and enduro mountain biking, then this is the podcast for you. First up, a quick thanks to my supporting partners who enable me to keep bringing this podcast to you every week, as well as providing you with great offers. Hydration is something that is often underestimated, not just for race performance, but also for all of our riding, and also how you feel in life in general. So when Precision Hydration got in touch and wanted to support me and the podcast, I was stoked, as I was already aware of their work with Bex Barrett-Honour and Tracy Mosley, so I was super keen to give it a go myself. Now, what you might not realise is that each person not only sweats at a different rate, but they also lose different amounts of sodium for each litre that they sweat. This means that hydration does not have a one-size-fits-all solution, and that's where Precision Hydration come in, as they're there to help you work out how you sweat and then provide a hydration plan and the electrolytes that are tailored to your needs. There are two routes you can follow. There's a free online questionnaire that will then give you a recommended hydration program. Or if you want to take it to the next level, you can book yourself in for an in-person sweat test where they'll measure your sodium loss super accurately without you even having to do any exercise. I've recently had my sweat test and learned that I'm a medium sodium loss sweater, which is about 860 milligrams per litre of sweat, in case you're interested. And I'm super excited, actually, to get hold of the electrolytes that I need to work with this, which I have in the next few days, and then I can give them a try. If you want to find out more, then you can head to precisionhydration.com and complete your own free hydration plan there. If you decide that you want to try and use their range of electrolytes, then as a Downtime listener, you get 20% off using the code DOWNTIME, all in capitals, at the checkout. Next up, it's Komoot, and they have got a free gift for you all. If you're looking for a way to plan good riding routes, either off-road or on the road for some training, then Komoot is the app for you. It's a route planning and navigation app that's actually designed to work for mountain biking. You can plan routes on your phone or your computer. Just give it a start and an endpoint, and Komoot will plan the best route for you. The app is free to download, but if you want to take the maps offline, then you need to buy a map bundle. But as a Downtime listener, Komoot are offering you a free regional map bundle of your choice worth $8.99. All you need to do is head to komoot.com/G. That's Komoot, spelled KOMOOT.com/G, and use the code DOWNTIME. Downtime, all one word, all uppercase, at the checkout. That offer is valid until the end of August 2019, so head over to komoot.com and give it a try for free. I've found it's an awesome way to plan a route and get it onto my Garmin in a simple and quick way, ready to ride. So why not give it a try for free and see how it works out for you? The support from our partners is great, but the support from you, the listeners, is also super important to help keep the podcast going. Please keep on spreading the word, sharing the episodes on your social media, and representing by getting yourself something from our webshop at downtimepodcast.com/shop. Also, don't forget to head to downtimepodcast.com/subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, as well as joining our newsletter to keep up to date with everything podcast related. Give us a follow on social media where we're at Downtime Podcast. And if you've got a minute, then please leave us a review wherever it is you listen to the podcast. Okay, it's time for this week's guest, Fabian Burrell. I grew up watching Fabian race, so when I got the chance to sit down with him at the Leger World Cup, I was super excited. We sat down after hours in the canyon pits and chatted about a more philosophical approach to racing and life in general. We hear Fabian's thoughts on the importance of passion, how he tries to instill that in the canyon team, and we touch on his five pillars of riding. I love the way Fabian thinks about things, and we were a little short of time, so a part two will follow. Right, without further ado, here's Fabian Burrell. Fabian Burrell, welcome to the Downtime Podcast. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Thank you. I'm super happy to join and always ready to chat.
Excellent. Good stuff. So we're at Fort William World Cup. There's some kind of Harley-Davidson festival going on in Morzine, so we might have a bit of background noise as they all go past.
So we are slightly south of Fort William. We are actually in Leger World Cup.
Sorry.
So we are just right there. It's very been close, and you two don't know. Right,
it's been
now.
A long day.
Yeah, that's all right. Don't worry. No, absolutely fantastic. It's a location that is obviously really important to my heart, but it's in France. We are also in a super good position with the team here, at the Canyon Factory Racing team. It's one of the epic, most of the most epic season of World Cup we had from all time. The consistency and the speed of the rider is absolutely amazing. So yeah, for me, it's an amazing, exciting time. Has been passion for more than 25 years by racing, and just loving every second.
Awesome. Yeah, it's good. And I started digging around and kind of bringing up my own memories of your career and doing a bit of research. And to be honest, I just didn't know where to start with what to talk to you about. So obviously you had an incredibly successful career in downhill and latterly in enduro. You were junior world champion, elite world champion. And one of the things that interested me is that you never took, I don't think, an overall World Cup series.
Never.
And I was digging around in that a little bit, and I heard you talk about consistency versus commitment. Talk to us a little bit about that, because I thought that was really interesting.
That's a super interesting point you are bringing there, and that's actually a question that only one person, I think, already asked, from what I remember, was Steve Jones. At some point, and for sure, I never had the consistency to actually play a game for a full season. As for me, every time I was taking the start was to win, and I never raced for point and never actually been managed to do that. I always been a big fan of risk and adrenaline and having my head on fire, committing more than my skills would tell me to do. And he was he has been one of my weaknesses, and unfortunately, he still is. To be honest, because on everything I do, I like to commit on the edge, and I really like that. And I found exciting times, like even racing motorbikes or car racing. When I do so, I push myself sometimes a little too much. But I guess, it's in your nature, and this has definitely clearly been against winning an overall World Cup. I've been leading the World Cup sometimes in my career, but actually never managed to actually go all the way to the end.
Yeah. So any regrets with that, or you?
No, I actually, and that's another good question. It's like, I've been thinking about it before stopping quite sometimes, and no, I have no regret, because I live my career with lots of intensity. Mm-hmm. And you're saying my career has been successful. It's been a lot more successful rider than me in terms of pure results, but I think I build a certain character into the race scene by the fact that I always race with a lot of intensity.
Yeah.
And people never really know what to expect from me. I could obviously blow in the air with two corners from the start or one corner from the finish, as I could fly when no one could expect me to the finish and win the race. And I think that's the excitement that has been building also my personality through my career, but also my dedication to details, I would say.
Yeah. And you work a lot with the younger riders now, and you help out certainly with the Canyon guys, and you know, you've been on the hill this weekend. How do you manage that? Because you've obviously got this inherent kind of commitment focus, but obviously, you know, you've got guys in the team that are maybe looking at a more kind of consistent approach. Yep. How do you manage the way that you work with those guys?
Well, if you really, really, really see, I mean, I'm working with Troy Brosnan, who's probably the most consistent rider of all time, who is the complete opposite of what I was. That's maybe why I hired him to come on board, because I believed in the strengths he has and I didn't have at the time. But I surely have a completely different approach for the other that I had for me. There would no way I would accept my rider taking the risk that I have been taking in the past.
Okay.
And I mean, I broke more than 50 bone in my career, which is not a list that I offer to anyone to have. And again, I had no regret, because I loved every piece of it.
Yeah.
And I definitely don't want my riders to do so.
Yeah.
I want them to learn. I want them to be wind without their limit, within their limit, and build and have a constructive approach of the racing or the risk or the tactic. And I try to be very rational to my advice I give to them. And when it comes time to racing, I just try to drive them my emotion and my passion for the sport, but also my passion for the crowd and the respect of the people that have been pushing them where they are. And I try to raise their levels and skills through the emotion of riding and the general emotion of life.
Okay.
As I do believe it's how to rise yourself from being an excessive rider in the maximum to the right optimum of where the flow should be for a great run.
Oh, this is another one that I've mentioned to a few people that we were going to sit down for a chat, and almost every single person said, ask him about maximum versus optimum. And I think this comes from a chat with Steve Jones as well, actually.
Well, it could have been. I mean, it's one of the philosophy of mine that, you know, I've been trying to think a lot about the sport and understanding because mentally I was out of control. I have been a person that that was out of control, and I had to learn about myself, learn about racing, learn about the other. And if there is something I clearly understood, is that if you are permanently in the maximum, you are way closer to the limit that you should be, and you don't bring the emotion that is going to drive your skills to put the cherry on the top of the cake. So you're going to be obviously building your skills through your rationality, your training, your physical prep, etc. But what's going to bring you to something that is very unique when you want to be on that day at the right place is your heart. It's not your brain. It's not your legs. It's not anything that you're going to prepare on your bike. It's your heart. And this is what bringing you in the right optimum of racing to get what surfer will feel when he hit the wave at the right timing and get that perfect slope down, take the maximum speed and, you know, go in those corners. We all been watching those guys and saying, wow, they are with nature. They are using the nature and gravity to bring themselves down. And that's what mountain bike downhill is when you basically bring your heart into it.
Yeah. So how do you work with these guys on that? So we've talked a lot about performance on this podcast over the episodes, and we've got into kind of training regimes and nutrition and, you know, tactics and all kinds of stuff, but we've never really talked about heart and emotion. So tell us a bit about how you work with the athletes, or how you've done it yourself to get to that position where you're in a position to take the optimum kind of run down the hill.
Well, it's obviously something that is very hard to drive. Because you talk to the riders, you obviously explain them bike settings. Obviously, when they are very already riders that are already built, already got a solid mindset, it's really hard to make them understand or listen. So you need to bring rationality, numbers, and bring data, and then at some point they listen. In terms of training, you bring them on a physical test, and you can bring them and explain them, okay, if you do this, you're going to increase those numbers. Those are all rationality. And there is a bunch of things like this in the preparation that you can prove, mathematically prove, but emotion is not. That's where it comes down to pure relationship and try to drive a certain energy to them. And that's where the same passion that I have been driven in the start for myself, I try to drive it to them in the pit, mm-hmm. and make them feel through talking with them and by understanding what is really touching them really deep in their heart, and to use that on their bike when it's the time to approach their race run.
Yeah. And do you think that's the same across all the riders that you work with, or do you have to take a different approach with each one?
No. Every single person is completely different. And that's why it's so interesting in my work today. Is that I have very different riders. I have 12 now. We are quite a bit structured, but you don't have only the riders to manage. You also have the mechanics, the team manager, the soigneur, and everyone's got his emotion. Everyone's got his personality, and you want all of them to give the peak of their performance, because at the end, it's a full teamwork that drives the win to only one person most of the time. And they all need a different approach. We all trying to be transparent, respectful, and in trust with each other. And I have to say that it's been 3 years that I am in this actual program. And that's only after 3 years of hard work that I can say that today we are a solid family.
Yeah. So what sort of things do you guys do? So you look after the Canyon crew, right? So that's enduro and downhill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, I'm directing the overall structure. Yeah. I have managers.
Yeah.
That goes on the daily routing, and but I'm directing the project, and I'm mainly taking care of the performance and the human side of the program, and obviously all the budget and things and sponsors that are going behind. But mainly, and I'm happy to say that after those 3 years, I can 99% of my time focus on this is the human side and the performance side. Yeah.
So what do you do within the team to kind of create that team atmosphere? And because it does feel like there's a nice vibe in the Canyon pits.
It's mainly bringing personalities together. Because you create emotions through interaction with people. There is nothing else in life that is above, obviously, the human interaction. And basically, my role in there is to bring, obviously, certain rules of human values within into the group, but also bring personality that will fit together.
Okay.
Like Mark Wallace and Troy Brosnan didn't know each other before that program.
Yeah.
But knowing the two guys, understanding the strength of each other and building the personality together is a mix that works.
Yeah.
Because today they are great buddies. And I know that even after their racing career or the program into the team, they still will stay friends, which is for me probably the best success out of all it, and probably more than winning races.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So is that something you've learned over time? Is it a natural skill that you've had to be able to, you know, spot people that will work together well and put them together?
No, I don't think so. It's not a natural skill. It's a skill that you make effort for of understanding. And I've been really interested about learning myself racing, but also learning about the others. And the human being is something that is absolutely amazing to try to analyze, to understand at many different levels, from a group all the way to the world itself, to the countries. It's really hard to understand what's going on everywhere. Yeah. So within our small group, it's providing me a unique experience to share with great people what they have the deepest in their heart through racing.
Yeah. And does it excite you as much as the racing did to sit when you go and see the boys out on the hill?
I have to say that I have a great time. Yes.
Yeah.
I really love racing, and I hope that you can feel that in my words and in my sayings there, because I loved racing because I love the competition. I love the fact of pushing myself, but I never been selfish enough to focus only about me. Mm-hmm. And I found my way through the entrance of success to share this win with the other.
Yeah.
And winning in Léger year, where we are exactly 15 years ago, if I would have the same win, not with the crowd, my friend and the family, that win wouldn't even have a percent of taste of what he has been for me. And this whole success is a great memory today and a great souvenir that is full of emotion from the support of the people I had before and the smile of the people and the happiness of the people when I actually made it.
Yeah.
That is the best out of it all. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. And we were just watching that world champs winning run here before we sat down for a chat. And I'd forgotten quite how loose, like, you got. You were really on the very edge of what was possible that day.
I was above my limits. There was on the paper riders that were faster than me.
Right.
And basically that heart and that mindset that day that I've been managing to put together is what raised me to the top.
Yeah. So what was going through your head when you sat in the start gate then, knowing that you've got to kind of, like you say, push beyond your limit to get that win? How are you dealing with that when you sat in the start gate?
You put yourself into a different mood. And you bring yourself completely out of the general world you're in. You try to completely avoid, obviously, the complete pressure of racing, the pressure of the industry, and you bring yourself into the start just like an artist will be ready to paint a frame. I do imagine, I'm not an artist, but I do imagine that someone very artistic, when he comes on the front of a painting, or the idea of the painting he wants, there is a lot of things going on. He tried to close himself with the world around, and he's ready to use his hand and to draw his line and send his line with everything in there. And we're talking about the surfer earlier. I'm talking about the artist there, and the link with all those people and us where we are racing is to be able to put ourselves in a complete closed mindset where there is only the bike, the terrain, and ourselves that's going to just try to be one, eating the line and finding that word that makes a navy sense to me that we call flow.
Yeah.
And it's where your breaking point is right on time, where you let the brake go at the right moment and you can feel the perfect acceleration on terrain and the combination of the grip and the body dynamic of the bike between the bike suspension settings and the rider physical dynamics that generate this speed out of the corner. All that bringing together is the perfect and ideal mixture that's going to make the best time at the bottom.
Yeah.
And all that is obviously through bringing yourself into a different zone, really. Yeah.
And have you got any kind of techniques to get into that zone?
Because yeah, for sure. It's been plenty of technique. Like, first of all, as I say, I was not mentally controllable when I was young. Yeah. And I was eating like many trees and committing too much and being too aggressive. And I did sophrology. I don't know how you call that in English, but it's a mental exercise that is based on the connection between your body and your brain.
Okay.
And it's sophrology. And behind that, I did a lot of philosophy. Mm-hmm. To try to understand also myself into the world I'm in and things like that. And behind philosophy, I did also quite a bit of studying on comportmentalism,
okay,
which is basically the attitude of the others and yourself within the world you live in.
Yeah.
And all this has been research and learning to try to just understand why we are here.
Yeah.
What are we doing this? Why does that bring us so much emotion? Why do we love racing? Okay, the only thing we know in the world we live in is we're all going to die one day.
Yeah.
But what is the mission that we're bringing to ourselves in here?
Yeah.
And I've been super lucky to do something that I'm passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish everyone that is listening now to find their passion. Because a life without passion is a life that is very... very plain, very boring. And I know that sometimes we are lucky, I am lucky, and some people goes like, oh yeah, but I'm going fucking 8 to noon and noon to 6 at work. I have no time for passion. I'm not enjoying what I'm doing and stuff. But there is a passion into everything.
Yeah.
And I really wish everyone to make sense in their lives through family, friends, and passion. That's what I wish to everyone.
Cool. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Are there any kind of books or areas of philosophy or anything that you came across when you were on doing that research that really helped you?
You can't imagine how much stuff I didn't understand.
Join the club.
And like, there is so much about it, like from trying to understand Socrates,
yeah,
all the way to work on some philosophy of the Greek,
yeah,
in the past. It's a past that is very individual. Because I could read a book that inspired me a year before, that the year after you read the exact same book and doesn't have the same sense to you.
Mm.
Because you are a different person,
yeah,
and you have a different experience. We are different every day. Because as we say, every day is a school day and you're learning from every day. But you also emotionally react to things not the same way one day after the other because you are a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And that beauty of learning curve is also bringing us into an attitude of permanent thinking. And I think the key of all this is just to understand that nothing is fixed. Everything is discussable. Everything is exchangeable. And it's all a matter of what you want to do, what you want to be, and where you want to go.
Yeah. And do you think you've reached an optimum, or is it an ongoing journey?
No, it's an ongoing journey. And for sure that there is no finality to it. There is no end, but there is a way to it. And the way to it is only driven by the success of the way you're going into it is happiness.
Yeah.
The real way is just to accept that the past has got no ending. And if you are capable to take this pass with a massive smile on your face and your eyes as open as you can and say, okay, I'm trusting life. I'm trusting what's going to come at me. And I'm just going to love every minute of it because that's all I can do. I mean, the only thing you can understand and you can actually control and be and that is in your hands is just the way you do things.
Mm-hmm.
We can't control life. We don't know what tomorrow is going to be. And the only way to do it is just accept it with the biggest smile you can have.
Yeah, that's a really nice way to look at things. I like that a lot.
I think it's the only way, unfortunately, yeah, to go forward, really. Yeah,
yeah, good stuff. You mentioned kind of the importance of teammates and the people that are around you.
Yeah.
You worked with some awesome people in your career. You had some great teammates. Does anyone stand out? Were there any teammates that you particularly enjoyed racing with or racing against?
Yeah,
any that you learned things from?
I met plenty of fantastic people that inspire me in many different ways. It's through this career and through the challenge of racing, I'd like to bring up one point is like, even if you see one person on one bike winning, there is always a huge team behind. And that's true for everything in life. Let's be honest, alone we are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If tomorrow I take anyone out of the family, friends, and the people that are supporting you, you'll be a dead man. And that's where I'm saying that emotion and what you do with the people you are with, the respect you bring them, the trust you bring there, it's what it's all about. And so on, the teammates are super important. And I would not have enough time to list it, but someone like Damian Spagnolo that I race with on Mondraker, that is not one of the most famous guy, and that didn't really stand out through his career massively, but I took him in the top 60 and bring him through that emotion to be vice world champion in Champéry 2011, the day I just retired.
Yeah.
The only reason he got that place and this emotion on that run that day was because he wanted to be thankful towards me to have believed in him.
Yeah.
And this was the best present he could do to me, because and if that was me being on that silver medal that day, on the last day of my career, it wouldn't have been as much emotion than seeing him doing it for me.
Yeah.
And that's a complete sense of it. And I think there is many people on the sport and in racing that are like this. I've been lucky to share great moments with Paul Walton, that has been my mechanic for many years, supporting me and the guy behind me. Full on. I had great times with Tracy Mosley back in the days. I had great time with Steve Pitt, Eric Carter, when I was in my own young age in GT. All those people are very inspiring just because they are those very kind people that are capable to keep our sport down to the ground with a lot of love, with a lot of humility towards everyone around, from the guy that is changing the tire all the way to the crowd that is on the side. And that's what really brings an amazing community around the downhill World Cup scene.
Yeah, and I think people don't realize, it's one of the things I've been lucky, I guess, to get some access to see a bit more of what goes on behind the scenes at a World Cup.
Yes.
And every team, the atmosphere and the way it works is very, very different.
Yeah.
And it, for some riders it works and for some riders it doesn't. So there's a real, there does seem to be like the rider and the fit to the team is really important.
Yeah,
it feels like you can take the most talented rider.
It is actually massive. You can't imagine how important it is. You will take one rider, put it in the structure, it's going to win everything. You take that same rider with a teammate that he doesn't feel comfortable with, and with a wrong mechanic, and don't even talk about the wrong bike, it wouldn't work.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work. So it's a thin, very, very thin lines where to access to the top, it's a very detailed puzzle where every single piece is counting.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right that this mixture, it's just like a chef when it's ready to do a nice meal. And as a French, I can tell you that when you do great gastronomy, it's a bit of this and a bit of that that is going to make this flavor to really pop out in your mouth and make something absolutely amazing when you eat it.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing when it's about racing.
Yeah. So for amateur riders then that don't have all of this kind of pit set up around them and, you know, huge support teams and everything that are, you know, your weekend warriors, if you want to call them that, out racing national series and this kind of stuff. What advice would you give those guys and girls to help them kind of attain that level of performance when maybe there isn't a big network in the way that a team has?
Let's have a rational approach to them and bring them some really important information. It's like, okay, you're alone, but further and higher you're going to go and more people you're going to federate and bring behind you. But before that, you need to understand that in downhill, there is five key parameters. And that's a big part of a puzzle that is actually bringing you into doing a good run.
Okay.
The most evident ones are to have very good technical skills. So training your technical skills on trail, on BMX, on pure downhill, and just be super good technically. Second one is to be physically really prepared.
Mm-hmm.
To have the lucidity that is going to actually bring you all the way down with the dynamism and the precision that is needed on the race run.
Okay.
The third one is the mechanical, is to be able to have a bike that is well maintained with the right suspension setup, the right braking, the good tires, exactly having the right choice based on all the different track.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it gets a little more complicated, but it's the tactic of racing. It's basically having an approach of your run that's going to be cut into pieces, understanding the rhythm of each part of the sectors that you are in, and adapt the rhythm at best to find the flow we talked about.
Okay.
And last and not the least is the mental, is to be able to bring all the rationality of the 4 points that you've been working on, is to actually bring that into one puzzle and drive this emotion that we talked about, that's going to help you to rise the general level of your complete run to this optimum that we mentioned.
Yeah. So would you suggest then that riders kind of maybe have a list against each of those five pillars of things they're going to do to improve or to help?
I would advise to have a list on those five parameters and do exercises and have key moments where you work all those points and progress on each of slowly on each of them to be able to increase the level.
Yeah.
And that will surely pay off.
Okay.
And when I mentioned the last point, the mental approach, I mean, let's be honest, guys. What is bringing you to the top is to have fun on your bike. If you have a big smile on your face and you feel that the terrain is always you and you're fucking hitting your line easily with all the commitment you want to have, and you are actually then enjoying riding your bike, you'll do a great time.
Yeah, that's the tricky thing, isn't it, I guess? Because there's to improve, you have to do some of that work and write things down and think about things. But that can sometimes go against the fun element. It can take the fun out.
Yeah.
So getting that balance is
challenging. That's what being a pro racer also is so important. It's like I work with my rider and say, guys, I'm going to slap you hard for working and I'm going to annoy you every day to know if you did your road bike training, to know if you did your bike testing, if you test those new suspension. I'll be on your back all the time. You're going to hate me. That's okay with it. That's okay. But you're going to love me when it's going to come to the racing moment, because I'm going to be behind you to make sure you do one thing: enjoy riding your bike.
Yeah.
That's going to be the main thing.
Yeah.
And racing weekend is holidays for them. Everything is dialed. Winter is hard. Testing session is hard. Training is hard. Weekend of racing, it's fun.
Yeah.
Everything is dialed. Like, we have guys that know every single piece of what they have to do. They know what time they do what. They have the mechanic. When it gets in, we know what needs to be done. We have the suspension settings that are ready. When we come to race weekend, it's all done. Race is already over. And that's what I'm telling them. Because it's over, just enjoy.
Cool. Let's pick up on tactics then, pillar four that you mentioned, and sort of breaking the run down. Can you tell us a bit more about how you would approach that?
Well, basically, you have a different rhythm on the track. Okay, and this cuts the track into pieces. I mean by this, you're going to have a 5 second sprint in one section. This 5 second sprint, you want to bring all your aggressivity into this. So you're going to be very aggressive for 5 seconds. When you're going to come in into a rock garden, when you need to be super light, and you need to suddenly go from aggressivity to a large breathing that's going to actually bring you into a mellow section, to be again on another aggressive section. And the aggressivity, the intensity of the muscles, the precision of certain zone, the shifting, the intensity of your muscle and the braking compare the section where you want to be light. I want them to visualize all that in their runs and be capable before their race run to visualize their run perfectly dialed. So when they are actually doing it, they are in a situation where they are already 10 meters during their run. They're already 10 meters ahead. Everything that is coming slow at them.
Okay.
Even if they ride 80K an hour, it's still going to be slow because visually-wise, they're already ahead of what is happening.
Yeah. So what sort, are they using GoPro and things to help kind of learn the track?
Because there's a lot of GoPro, but a lot of mental visualization after that.
Yeah.
I'm really pushing them hard to visualize themselves in the wood they want to be in the start. Visualize themselves how they want to see themselves in each section, and visualize themselves how happy they're going to be at the finish line, losing or not.
Yeah.
And this is all basically conditioning the riders to just enjoy the moment when they came in their run.
Awesome. And it's working.
Well, so far, so good. I mean, we have number 1 and 5 in enduro. We have number 2 and 7 in downhill, and we have number 2 in the junior category. And I mean, the teams are doing great.
Yeah.
And they're performing very good. And also, they are performing very good because of the hard work, but also because the guys are feeling very comfortable in the structure, and they're just happy to be here.
Yeah.
As everyone in the team. So this is key to me.
Very nice. Well, we need to get you off to dinner. Yeah. Because we're at 9:30. We'll stop for now.
Yep.
And we'll try and get a part two at some point.
That would be fantastic. If you have a time, we can meet again and enjoy the moment. But I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
For the deep questions. And it's always great to share that with the people. And if in the meantime of the second episode or anything, people has any question, please don't hesitate to throw it at you and we'll discuss.
Good stuff. Thanks, Fabian. Have a nice dinner.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Right, that's it for part one of my chat with Fabian Burrell. I hope you all enjoyed listening. We are planning a part two, so as Fabian says at the end of the episode, please send in your questions for him, either on our social media channels, where we're at Downtime Podcast, or to me, chris@downtimepodcast.com. Thanks to Komoot and Precision Hydration for supporting the podcast. Don't forget, they've both got great listener offers for you. Head to komoot.com/G and use the code Downtime, all in uppercase, to get a free regional map bundle of your choice worth $8.99. And Komoot is spelled KOMOOT. Also, head to precisionhydration.com to learn more about your specific hydration needs and for your free hydration plan. To get 20% off all Precision Hydration products, just use the code Downtime, all in capitals, at the checkout. Please give us a follow on social media where we're at Downtime Podcast. Subscribe to the show so you get all of our episodes delivered straight to your device. And if you want to get yourself some exclusive Downtime Podcast goodies, then head to downtimepodcast.com/shop. All right, we've got another awesome episode coming up soon. But until then, get out and ride.